Well, good morning. Everybody doing okay this morning? I bring you greetings from Brownsville, Texas. My wife, Sandra, could not make this trip with me. We had a youth function going on, all kinds of stuff. So she needed to stay back, but she sends her love and her greetings to everybody. And so we so love your pastors and your leaders and this team and love coming to the church. And so just want to say thank you. Thank you for receiving us. Thank you for continuing to pray for me. Thank you for those of you that have prayed for us as I've been on an incredible journey all my life, but specifically this last year as the Lord has delivered us and brought us through a stage 4 squamous cell carcinoma tumor that I had in my throat. Just continue to pray for us. Everything's good. No more cancer, no more tumors. Everything's moving in a great direction. Like we sang about this morning, God still does miracles. And so just welcome we give you our love to all our Rev City family and friends that maybe are watching online or maybe are someone's guest here this morning. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. And again, thank you so much, Pastor Thomas and Amity and the team for trusting us to come and be able to speak to you guys. You understand that God loves you guys tremendously. God has an incredible love for you. God has an incredible plan for you. And the older I've gotten, I'll turn 69 next month in May. The older I've gotten, the longer I've done ministry and life and marriage, 45 years in August, then I realize and recognize how good God has been, how good he has always been. And he has no plans to change his goodness and his faithfulness towards us. And to you, I want you to know God is still able. I mean, we sang it, just turn to somebody, just because it'll make me feel better. Just turn to someone, God is still able. Able to what, Pastor Richard? Able to just fill in, to do everything. He is just able. So I want to make sure that you understand that as we move forward this morning in the service. I've got a word for us, for you, that I really feel like if you'll just lean into the Lord this morning, see what he will say to you. I've been asking him, what does that mean for me, Lord? I always receive things from the Lord and say, Lord, how does that apply to me first? What are you saying to me? Let me see what you're trying to show me and let me hear what you're trying to say to me. So sometimes, have you ever been in a service and you say, man, I wish so-and-so was here so they could hear what was said? How many of you have ever thought that during the middle of the service? Well, this is not for them. This is for you. Okay, turn to somebody and say, this is for you. Say, this is for you, okay? And so, if you will, turn to Psalms chapter 8, verse 4. That's sort of where I'm going to start. And I'm going to share with you the context of how I received this word. And then I want the Lord to minister this to you. We'll be in Deuteronomy in a little bit. But I want to start here in Psalms chapter 8, verse 4. And it reads like this. It says, and this is David, King David speaking, the psalmist. And in the middle of what was going on in his life, he makes this statement. He says, what is man? He's having a conversation with God. He says, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you should visit him? Pray with me. Father God, thank you for this morning, for your presence here. Thank you, oh God, that you've come to be with us, to speak to us, to draw us closer to you, Lord. You've come to save, to heal, to set free. You've come to empower, to equip us. You've come to open our eyes and get our attention, oh God, that we may not be distracted in this season where so many things happen and there's so many distractions and there's all kinds of stuff going on. Thank you, oh God, that for the next 30 minutes, oh God, as we lean into your word and the message that you put in my spirit to share with these people that you love so much. Lord, we just tell you that our hearts are open to receive from you. Give us ears to hear and give us faith to believe and give us the courage to walk out what you instruct us today. I commit this time, the rest of this service to you again in Jesus' name, amen. Now that word mindful, it's just an interesting word, but it means to remember. David says, God, what is man, and he's referring to himself also, what is man that you would remember me? I mean, he's saying that, I know you, but that you would remember me, that you would even think about me. It's what David was saying. And that word mindful, just so you get a good context, that the word remembered is like when in Genesis, and God remembered Noah. After Noah had followed God's instructions to build the ark, in the midst of controversy, in the midst of people not understanding, in the midst of him not understanding why God had asked him to do what he was doing, it says that because Noah was obedient and did all that God asked him to do, that when the storms came and all that happened, it says that God remembered Noah and he found grace in the sight of the Lord. And we need God's grace every moment of our lives. And so David is saying, God, what am I? What is man that you are mindful of, that you remembered me in this season that I'm in, and that you would visit me? And that word visit is just, it means to feel concern or to have interest in me. Can you imagine? You know you, right? I know me. And God, you've got me on your mind. And you care about me. And you want to visit with me? I mean, it's a sombering thought for me this last year. It always has been, but it's taken a greater significance and to be remembered by God. But that word visit also means, David says, what is man that you're mindful of, that you would appoint me? Don't miss this. It means to assign. It means to give a role or a function to. What am I, God, that you would remember me and think about me, and that in this season, again, you would have something for me. You have an appointment for me. You have an assignment for me. You have a role and a function for me to play as one of yours in this season of my life. Turn to somebody and say, he's got an appointment for you. He's got an assignment for you. Those of you watching online, there's something specific that he's wanting to do. He's got a function for each and every one of us. And then he brings us together to then help fulfill the mission of Noah built the ark because God was going to do something. And God is building this church because he's going to carry people to safe waters and salvation again, just like he always has. Amen? So I want you to understand that passage of scripture. I don't want to get, before I go to Deuteronomy. And as I was walking, a few weeks ago, I've been asking the Lord. There's a lot of things I could share here this morning. I say, Lord, is there something specific that you would put in my spirit to share with those people at Rev City Church that you love so much and in Lawrence, Kansas, and those of them that will be watching online? And I was walking, and all of a sudden, guys, I was overtaken by the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. And I began to remember, it's like the Lord took me back and I remembered when he saved me. I said, Lord, I just remember when you rescued me out of the condition that I was in, out of just the heartbreak and the difficulties of everything that childhood brought to me, and just all the failures and all the sin and all, just, Lord, I said, and I began to think, God, I don't know why you did that. I don't know why you looked at me and remembered me and then called me and gave me a purpose, but I am forever grateful, Lord. I remember who I was, Lord. I remember what I was struggling with, oh God. I remember, I said, I couldn't even stand myself. How could you have loved me back then? And in my mind, this thought came to me, who would do that? And that's a thought that I have. That's the title of my message. Who would do that? Who would love somebody like me? Who would care enough about you and me and Sandra and my, who would care enough that he would remember us and visit us, but not just to say, hey, Richard, how you doing? But say, I've got you. I've got an appointment and assignment for you. You may not understand it fully until I walk it all out. But I kept walking and then just my mind just began to go back and think about all the things. I said, who would forgive me? Who would do that? Who would forgive this one who would raise his fist at God and say, you don't know what you're doing and why you're doing it. Why have you brought so much trouble into my family, into my world, into my life? Who would love me that way? Who would forgive me? Who would restore me? Who's the one that comes to deliver us in the midst of our troubles and our who takes ashes and turns them into beauty? who takes brokenness and restores it and repairs it, who makes something out of nothing, who takes some no one and turns them into a someone. I mean, all this in an instant, all those thoughts began racing in my mind as I'm walking. Who would rain bread and meat from heaven and bring water from a rock? Who would provide for a people that were murmuring and grumbling and complaining as he was trying to lead them to something that he had appointed and planned for in their lives? Who would take a soul that is broken and comforted in the middle of our pain and our loss and our suffering? Who would do that? Who would even care? Who would, God, what is man that you are mindful of me? And what is the Son of Man that you would visit me in the times of my troubles and my difficulties and everything that's going on in my life? Y'all get that picture? Why you? Why would he take time? Well, because he loves us and he cares for us and he has a plan and he's trying to get us somewhere if we would but continue to trust him in the midst of all the troubled waters, in the midst of all the opposing winds that may come and everything that's trying to take from the message of the gospel. He says, I still care about you and I still have an appointment, an assignment, and a function for you to fulfill individually, but then together corporately as a church. Amen? And there's four things that he wants to remind us of this morning. I'm going to get to that here in just a minute. And then we're just going to ask the Lord to continue to minister to us as he so desires. But as I was coming here, guys, I just got to thinking about that. My mind just works that way. By the way, I know I'm a little intense this morning. I'm sorry. Is everybody doing okay this morning? I guess you can tell I'm a little bit passionate about the word that's in me, and so I really do care. I don't just come to preach a message to you. I really care about you guys. I really want to see those things that God has planned, appointed, assigned, and the functions and the roles that he has for you. I want to see you lean into that and watch God do the impossible. I love that song. Love, because sometimes we hear that and it sounds so good, but man, it's just that you don't know my situation, my circumstance. You don't know what's going on around me. And it almost seems impossible. But I began to think about this impossibility. And so I began to do a little research, which I don't typically do. It's not the kind of message or the way that I think about being a message. But when I thought about that scripture, I know you probably know this, so please forgive me if I'm being redundant, but I just want to remind some of you. And if you didn't know, well, I didn't know for sure. But you know that there is approximately 8.3 billion people in the world. That's a few more than 100. I mean, 8.3 billion people in the world. Wow. Now, there are 195 recognized nations in the world. There are 50 states in the United States of America. You're tracking with me. There are 3,244 counties in the United States of America. Out of those 3,244 counties in America, there are 105 counties in Kansas. You're tracking with me. This is not a history lesson. I just think it's fascinating how the Lord just... And so out of that, there's 105 counties in Kansas. There's approximately 605 cities, recognized cities in Kansas, because some people make their own cities, just like we do in Texas. And out of those 605 cities and 105 counties, he has chosen to do something very special here in Lawrence, Kansas. And if we don't turn our eyes away from the distractions, we'll fail to recognize what God is doing in this season. That's why the battle is so hard. That's why things have been challenging and difficult. How many of you just faced some really difficult, challenging things and been troubled about some things? Let me just see your hand. Maybe somebody online, throw me a thumbs up. There's just all kinds of stuff going on. Well, it's just not random. Because we have an enemy, and the enemy is trying to keep us from that thing that he's appointed us and assigned us and the function that he's given to us individually, as families, as a church, in a city, in a community, of all the cities and all the counties. And I'm not saying this is the only place that God is doing something, but have you ever thought about why here? Who would do that? who takes mustard seed faith and plants it in a community and causes it to grow and battle and fight and forge through and turn it into Rev City Church, a place to revive hearts and reveal Jesus. Who would do that? I mean, what God has done here, please hear me. What God has done here is not common. What God is doing here is not common. It's not happening everywhere. Oh God, what are we that you are mindful of us? And who are we, oh God, that you would visit us? God is visiting us. God is visiting us here at Rev City Church in Lawrence, Kansas. God is visiting. He is looking for people who will come together and continue to build the ark that he's preparing for the salvation. Because Lord took me back, and one day I gave a word and I felt like I saw a banner over this church that said, God is mighty to save. This is still a place of salvation. This is still a place of revival. This is still a place that God has a plan for you and for us and for this city, for you to be a light in the midst of a dark place and a dark world. And we cannot forget that. But troubles and disappointments and challenges and obstacles and health issues and financial issues and misunderstandings, all those things the enemy will try to use to get our eyes off of what we're supposed to do. And so God wants to remind us of some things this morning. Amen. Do not let the miraculous thing that God is doing here and has done here become common. Like, okay. Do not let the enemy interrupt or interfere what God is doing here. Press through. Press through your challenges. Press marriages, press through your challenges. Agree to disagree and then walk together in unity, because God has a plan and he is mindful of your family, your marriage, your children, your business, this church. He is mindful. He's remembering us and he is extending his grace to us. And if we'll do what he asks us to do and walk together to fulfill the plans and the purposes and the mission that God has for us, then God will get us to that other place that may seem impossible. But we just sang it this morning: with God, everything is possible. And he's able to finish, Paul said to the church, the work that he began in you and in me. Amen? Amen. And by the way, what God is doing here at Rev City Church and what he's been doing here, those of you that have walked the journey to the leadership, what he's been, I mean, it's not common. And we have to remember that. And I made a notice that what God does here does not make us special, by the way. It just means that we've been entrusted with a greater responsibility. And that's why the battles have been so hard and so difficult and so challenging. That's why you're struggling. But then God says, hey, man, I know where you are. I remember you. I'm remembering you this morning. I just want you to know that I haven't changed my mind about you and your family, this church, this city, this nation. But you've been on a journey. And the journey in this season has become difficult. I know three things when we take a journey. I'm gonna get to Deuteronomy, I promise you, and give you the four things he wants us to remember. During this season that we've walked in, that we are walking in, that I've been walking in, I recognize three things. In the midst of all that, trying to figure things out and moving forward and making decisions and suffering and doing the things. Three things. First of all, in the middle of all that, God has taken an opportunity to teach me some things. The journey that he has you on, he's going to use it to teach you some things. How many of you know that we haven't learned everything that we still need to learn? If we allow him and trust him and lean to him, he's teaching us something. The second thing he's doing is he's changing me. He's changing you. He teaches us and he changes us if we'll allow him for our good. And then lastly, he teaches us, he changes, and then he gives us a new strength. And so if you're wrestling and struggle with something, that means that God says, I want to teach you some new things. I want to change some things in you, make some adjustments, and I'm going to give you a strength that you're going to need so that you can see this through until I get you to that place that I'm taking you in this season of your life. Amen? So, and his invitation is to take what we've learned, the things that he's changed in us individually and organizationally as a fellowship, and the strength that he's given us to be able to take the journey and finish what he's asked and called us to do, what he's assigned and pointed to us, and help us teach others. Create opportunities for others to understand that God is teaching them and God is changing them and that they're not stuck where they are and that God has given them a strength to finish strong in their marriages, in their families, in their churches, in our communities. Luke 12:48 says, when someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been trusted with much, even more will be required. God has blessed you guys. God has blessed us here at Ref City Church. But it's this not for us to be blessed, it's for us to be a blessing to those around us. So the enemy would try to steal and destroy and stop the growth of the fruit so that we can no longer be a fellowship and a people that continue to feed and strengthen and point the community and those that God will allow us to Jesus and help them in their transformation, help them in their discipleship walk with the Lord, help them as we reach out to help hurting families and all those people, all the things that God has allowed you guys to be a part of and do. Don't forget what God has done, okay? It's not common. It's not a common thing. You may think it is, but it's not. Trust me. You know, I'm not bar none, so I don't go to all the churches, but I have connection with enough churches to know that God is doing something special here. And it doesn't make us special. It just gives us a greater responsibility. Young adults that he's bringing in and raising up, it's not because this is a special place for young adults. It's because God has gathered a special group of young adults because he has an appointment, an assignment for you. So don't think that it's not about me. It's about what God wants to accomplish through me and through you. Amen? So four things this morning God wants to remind us. Are y'all ready? I'm going to give them to you, and then we're gonna minister to you. The Lord's going to minister to you. And this is out of the book of Deuteronomy, and let me just share them to you just like the Lord gave them to me. The first thing, four things to remember today, in lieu of what I've just shared of God being mindful of us and God visiting us, the first thing is in Deuteronomy chapter 5:15. He says, remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with his strong arm and his powerful arm. Remember that God has saved you. Let me see, has God saved somebody in this house? Has God rescued somebody in this house or online? Has God? Don't forget, when things get really, really hard and I get into the grind of challenges and opposition and disagreements, I go back and say, God, in the middle of all that, I don't ever want to forget that you saved me. And you saved me on purpose for a purpose. So he says, Moses, by the way, he's getting the commandments from the Lord. He's getting instruction as a leader to move the people forward to the promised land. And in the midst of that, he's given them the Ten Commandments. And in the midst of that, he says this, and don't ever forget that you were slaves. Don't forget that you were in bondage, Richard. Don't forget that you really couldn't help yourself. Or you can be successful and still be in trouble. You can have wealth and still be in trouble. Don't forget that I am the one who saved you from what you thought to put you into my steps and my plans so that you can not only have much, but that you can be much in the sense of being fulfilled. Don't forget who saved. Don't forget that you were once lost and now you're saved. Come on, I could preach this. I mean, just don't forget. Don't forget where he saved you and where he rescued you on purpose for a purpose. The second thing, don't forget what God did. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 17 and 19. He says, it says, perhaps you will think to yourself, how can we ever conquer these nations that are so much more powerful than we are? He says, but don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of the things that are coming against you. Verse 19, he says, remember the great terror that the Lord your God sent against them. You saw it all with your own eyes. Have you all ever seen God do something with your own eyes for you or somebody else? And you say, wow, God, let me see your hands. God, I mean, we need to remember. My gosh, I remember when you did that. See, we have a tendency to forget. You know, the cycle of peoples, the cycle of a nation is there's a crisis, and then we begin to cry out to God in our crisis because we're in deep trouble. God in his mercy begins to respond to us, and he begins to bless us and take us out of our mess, and he begins to prosper us again, and then we forget until the next crisis. And he's saying, don't just think about me in the crisis. Think about me now so you don't take step backwards, but you continue to move forward. Don't get lost in the wilderness of 40 years. Don't let it take 40 years to accomplish what I want to do. Let's not lose another generation. Let's make decisions now. Don't forget what I've done. And then he says, and remember the miraculous, verse 19, and remember the miraculous signs and wonders and the strong hand and powerful arm which he brought you out of Egypt. So not only did I save you, but I've done miracles in your life. I've done things that you couldn't do in your own strength. Don't forget that. Don't forget when I provided when you did. Don't forget when I opened the door and got you that job. Don't forget when you, and don't forget when, and don't forget that I am the one that has brought you this far. I am the one who has visited you with a plan and a purpose, and I will get you to where I'm getting you to. So he says to us, he said, Moses was saying to the people, and I'm saying to us today, God is saying to us, we were once slaves. Don't forget it. Don't forget what I've done. And the third thing he says to us in Deuteronomy chapter, let me get to that scripture here. Deuteronomy chapter 8, he says, don't forget that God is leading you. Moses, he said, this ain't about, God is, I use this word in my ministry life, God is tracking us. He's directing our steps. Man, well, this is not a very good step. It's very, very hard. He's teaching you something. He's changing something in you, and he's giving you a new strength. But don't you ever forget that God is leading you. If you do, then you'll begin to fight with each other. You'll fight with your wife. You'll fight with your husband. You'll fight with your kids. You'll fight with your boss. You'll fight with your employees. You'll fight with your team. You'll fight with, we are not each other's enemy. The enemy is the enemy. And don't forget, I am leading you. And sometimes in the midst of conflicts, it might feel like it's something going on over here, but it's the enemy's plan to try to stop you from getting to where I'm trying to take you. Don't forget that I've saved you. Don't forget that you were once slaves. Don't forget what I've done, and don't forget that I am leading you. He says, remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for 40 years. He says, and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. And listen, the test is not to prove something to God. The test is so that God can show us something in us that we don't believe yet and that we don't even know yet. He trusts us more than we trust ourselves sometimes. He has confidence in us, and that when we don't have confidence, God, who, me? Who would do that? Who would do that? Pastor Richard, you don't, I know that. I know me. Who would do that? But my confidence is that he is leading me even in times of trouble, and he's using it for the good of my life and the fellowship and his plan and his mission. We got to get us outside our own heads and get our head on his heart and let him say, God, you're the one that saved me. You're the one that's done all these miraculous things over all these years, from mustard seed faith to where we are now. And God, you're the one that's got us on this journey. And so, God, I'm trusting you no matter what. I'm trusting you no matter what. You are leading me now. And in the midst of the troubles, you're testing me to prove my character. In other words, I want you to know that there's more in you than that. I know it, but you don't know it yet. And these, what we call tests, are not to prove something to him. It's so that he can identify something else. So we say, man, Lord, I didn't even know that was in me. I didn't know I could forgive that way. I didn't know I would be able to endure that disappointment. I didn't know that I was able to not want to defend myself in the midst of that accusation. I didn't even know I was capable of doing that. And so God said, I'm showing you something about yourself, Richard, because I know this, my spirit. Luke 17:2 says the kingdom of God is within you. So God is with us, but he also lives in us. So he don't forget that he's leading us. So here we go. Don't forget that you were slaves. Don't forget what God has done. Don't forget that he is leading us. And the last one is, don't forget that God is your source. I'm talking to you as individuals, but I'm also talking to this fellowship as a church. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 and 19 through 19 says, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. In order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. But I assure you of this, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. Wow. It's quiet in here. I want you to know God loves you. God has a plan for you. I'm going to sit down for just a minute. Can I come hang out in the family living room? Man, who would do that? Knowing who we are, I mean, who would do that? So we can't forget. In the midst of the distraction, in the midst of, let me ask this question just generally, man. I want you to know God loves you, man. He remembers you. Thank you. I'm glad he loves me too. He said he loves you too. I said, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. And he visits with you to remind you of some things and some promises that conversations that you have had and conversations that you guys have had. And he says he hadn't forgotten. But at the right time and the point of time, and it just feels like, you know, just, man, just test after test after test. And so he's not trying to talk you out of something. He's trying to show you something about yourself that you don't. I looked over at here and I said, he could be teaching. He said, he don't think that. He said, but he could be teaching. God is taking you on a journey, and you've learned some things that others need to know. Teaching is not just about standing up there and reading the Bible and preaching. It's about, there's some life lessons. There's some things that have challenged you, but also have strengthened you. And there's a whole generation that needs to hear what you've learned. You may think, that's it. No, no, no. Well, anybody can no, no, no. God said, I visit you and I have an appointment for you. So lean into him. I'm not trying to give you more work somewhere or get you busier in the church or anything, but recognize that what God has done is not common. The fact that we're here, my gosh, who would do that? Who would do that? God loves you. I mean, who would do that? Who would continue to forgive us, and who would continue to draw us close to him when sometimes we didn't want to be close to anybody? Who would forgive? Who would restore? Who would help us help others? Who would comfort us that we may be a comfort to someone else? Who would be, man, and the Lord hadn't forgotten about you. I mean, he's got you coming, going. He surrounds you. He's forever present, and he truly is a very present help in time of trouble. I'll tell you what, God has a plan for you. God has a plan for us. Can we just close our eyes for just a minute? We got plenty of time. It's early. It's just 10 o'clock. And I want to ask us to do something. I've shared the thoughts and the words that I've had that I felt like I was supposed to release to you. You know, we don't even know what it is to be still anymore. We're just in such a hurry. I was talking about this last night or yesterday or sometime with either Pastor Thomas or maybe Brother Terry or somebody. But we've lost the ability to just be still. 1 minute and you're looking, and some of you are already tempted, you're looking at your phone. I don't see that, but how long can you be before you glance at your phone? Because it's almost uncomfortable to be still. So I want us just to take 1 minute, I'm watching the clock, 1 minute to just be totally still and say, what if God has something very specific? You've heard from a man this morning representing and being an ambassador of the Lord. But I'm asking, would you ask, Lord God, do you have something to say to me? Just you and me. And I want to still my heart, still my mind for 1 minute, total silence. I'm even going to ask the musicians to just, no music, no nothing, 1 minute to just be still. He said, be still and know that I am God. And say, God, would you speak to me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many of you would be honest and say, man, it was really hard to do? Somebody online saying. How many of you feel like the Lord gave you a thought or said something to you? Let me just see your hand. I'm telling you, just if you didn't, I'm not saying it's just. And what I want to encourage us to do is create margin in our life to just be still. We can't even have a conversation with each other because we're checking our phones. Because we've learned, we've been programmed to not be still. And it's in the stillness of the margin that we create intentionally for God that God has much to say to us. And this is how important it is. And then we're going to pray. We're going to minister. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. I may have shared this last time I was here. I don't remember. But I do remember that I was once a slave to sin, to the systems of the world, and to the culture. I do remember that. I do remember all that God has done for me over these 45 years of marriage and ministry. I do remember that God has led us every moment of our life. And I remember that God has provided in every circumstance, not just financially, but in every way possible, emotional strength, physical strength, and healing. But we must make time to remember him and create margin for him too. It was February of this last year, before I was diagnosed with my stage 4 cancer. And I was in a service, gonna go do a prophetic conference and speak. And the executive pastor asked us to do what I just asked you to do. And my mind's racing with what I'm going to share, what I'm going to do. And in that one moment, that one minute that he gave us to do, I heard one word. All I heard was the Lord say, covered. And a peace came over me. God, may your peace flood our hearts and our souls, our mind, our will, our emotions, in this moment, that we may clearly hear from you what it is you're saying to us. And I said, what's covered, Lord? And he said, everything. Little did I know that 3 months later, I began a journey that I had not planned and intended. But in the midst of that, God, who am I that you are mindful of me? And who am I that you would visit me in the midst of my trouble, in the midst of my confusion, in the midst of the battles, in the midst of, who are we that you would love us like you do? Who am I, oh God, that you would forgive and then give me the grace to forgive others? Who am I, oh God, that you would trust me to speak to a people that you love so much? Who am I, oh God, that you allow me not to be led by my flesh, but led by your spirit? Who am I that when my flesh says, judge that one, that I release mercy, oh God, because that is what I need from you? Who am I, oh God, that you would allow me to be able to trust again, oh God, after trust has been broken? Who am I, oh God, that you would trust me to speak words of life when so many words of death have been spoken over my life and I want to retaliate likewise? Who am I that you would give me grace? Who am I that to be loved? Who am I to be forgiven? Who am I to have an assignment and an appointment? Who am I that I can walk and move and live and breathe and have my being? It's all because of you, Lord. And I don't ever want to forget that. And I don't want to let anything to distract me from that, because if we keep that in mind, we're going to make it. We're going to get through whatever we may be going through. We're going to see God do impossible, miraculous things in us, with us, and through us. Why you, Clint? I don't know. What is Clint that you are mindful of him? And what are him and his sons that you would have an assignment and an appointment for? Who am I, Lord? In other words, we don't have any sense of any of us, me, I don't have a sense of entitlement. Well, I've lived a rough life, so man, I guess now this is my, maybe things have turned a little bit for me. So maybe I read enough, or maybe I prayed enough, or maybe I did whatever enough, and it's kind of like, it's never enough. Who am I? Why you? Why you guys? You guys have a lot to give. There's a lot. You guys have walked through a lot. And the enemy's kind of trying to isolate you. Well, just keep that to yourself. You know, it's kind of like, but God has seen the journey and the battles and the everything that you've, you know, God has seen how he's walked you guys in this relationship. You guys have learned some things and had to discover some things and fight for some things. And not in the negative, but just there are some things. And there's a generation that needs what you have and what you know and what you learn. Because in all that, God has taught you some things. God has changed some things. And God has given you a strength. And it wasn't just for you. It's for the next generation that's coming. So the Lord says, remember you were slaves. Remember what I've done. Remember that I'm leading you. And remember. He says, he's got everything. He's got everything that's for you. So step up into, that's what it was. And remember that he's your source. But he wants you to be a resource with what's been learned and what's been, it's just for all of us, but anyway. God is still able. Who said it was too late? Who said it was too late? Who said that couldn't happen, man? Dude, I'm telling you, it can happen. Who said that was for one, but that dream is coming? No. Who said that? God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly anything you could ask or even think. And this is, you know, you're not here by accident. Have we met before? You just look familiar to me for some reason. Maybe we haven't, but maybe there's something familiar because it's kind of like God has something for you. Here's what I looked over here and was walking. I just saw you and I said, now there's a brawler right there. He ain't backing away from anything. He ain't backing off anything. Especially not the things of the kingdom that God has put in you. A rescuer, someone who cares and has concern. People sometimes maybe misread you for whatever, but man, there's a big heart. God has given you a big heart. That's why for so long the enemy's tried to damage and destroy it, because he don't want you to retain all the goodness and the promises and the dreams that God has for you. He's tried to undo all those things from you. But I'm telling you that nothing formed against you is going to prosper. As you put your eyes on him and you trust him, everything that you've learned, everything that's changing in you is going to help you, but it's going to for the benefit of those around you. Man, God's got. I saw God putting he's not finished writing your story. There's still, as a matter of fact, he's in the middle of writing the next chapter of your story. You just trust him. He knows how to write. And he does. And by the way, one last thing, and I got to move on. We're going to sing here in a minute. It says, you can't go back and change the beginning of something, but today you can start and you can change the end of some things. Trust God with all that. Does that make sense? All right, God bless you, man. Hey, my friends, how are you? How are you? God bless you. God bless you. Oh, man. I got to get back, Pastor Thomas. How come? Why you? Why you guys? Who would do that? When others said, but God said, you keep trusting him. Put your spiritual earbuds in. Drown out all the noise and all of this trying to steal you of your dreams and your ambitions. And by the way, they're not selfish ambitions, they're kingdom ambitions. And God is teaching you some things in this season. And you keep trusting him. And by the way, he's the God that he says he cares for the lilies of the field. If he cares that much about them, he knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly where you're going. He's the one that's going to provide for you in this journey that you guys have been on. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says. What matters is that he has said that. Who am I? Who are you? That he would be thinking about and remember us, and that he would come and not only care for us, but have an appointment and assignment for us. Trust him. Trust him. You guys are awesome. Okay? And you're going to walk into that. Now, that doesn't make you special. It gives you a greater responsibility. Step into it. Lean into it. Okay? Amen. Amen. I want you to stand to your feet with me for just a minute, please. And we're going to go back into this song. I'm asking God, the Holy Spirit, to take these words and make it more than a song, but to step into that. Man, I'm walking over all kinds of you just don't know, and it's impossible. Nothing's too difficult with God. And I'll say it one more time. He is more than able. And he comes, he's remembered you. He knows where you've been. He knows your struggles. He knows your needs. And he also comes to visit with you. I don't know about you, but I want him to visit me. Can we visit with him for just a moment as we declare this, as we make it a song of, I don't know how to say it, confession of our faith, believing God for the impossible. Anybody else here, and I know you are, but can we just come in agreement and say, I need God to do something impossible. I need to be reminded today that he is able to do what I've not been able to do. Come on, let's sing that. Help me.